Blog Talk Radio.
WIJSF.com. Women in Jazz South Florida, Inc. is a nonprofit educational organization that promotes women musicians globally through events, concerts, performances, clinics, lectures, workshops, articles, interviews, newsletters, courses, contacts, research, history, archives, websites, film, audio and video recordings, and recognition. Visit us at WIJSF.com. You're listening to blogtalkradio.com/musicwoman with your host, Diva JC.
My mind. Good afternoon. We have a hot, hot day here in South Florida. This is Dr. Diva JC, and you were just listening to my guest, Sandra Isidore. This is a very particular guest. She is a musician. She's a vocalist. You just listened to her. But she's written a book about one of the most famous musicians from Africa, Fela. And she's going to tell us the story. Hi, Sandra. How are you?
I'm really good, Joan. It's really wonderful speaking with you in hot, hot Florida.
95.
That is hot. That's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have the humidity to go with it too?
Oh yes. Oh, the humidity is about 87 or more.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, we're pleasant in LA today. It's nice and cool. I'm getting a cool breeze, and so I'm enjoying it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you, how did you first come to music as a child?
Well, my mother pushed me in that direction. We had an old upright piano in the house, and I think it was a dream that my mother had where she wanted to play. So it was like she pushed it upon me to learn piano. And you know how it is as a child, when the other kids are outside playing and having fun, you want to be out there with them instead of being in the house having to practice.
Oh, absolutely. But it paid off.
Yes, it did. Because music is a universal language, and music crosses all barriers. So even if you're unable to communicate with a person, you can feel each other through music. Would you agree on that, or how do you feel about it?
Yeah, well, this is about you. So did you study music? Did you study music? Did you go to school for music?
Yes, I studied when I was at Los Angeles City College. I took, music theory classes as well as some piano classes, but mostly piano was private lessons in the home. But I never got to the point of, like charting like what Fela did. He was able to compose. That I never did, except with one song that I've written entitled Family. That I did. That was one composition that I did on my own. And
okay,
with the help of my family.
Have you recorded it?
Oh, yeah. It's on the CD entitled Nigeria. And there's a song on there. The song is entitled Family, which, it was just really heart-wrenching. The type of writer I am, I guess you could say more of an activist writer, because when I see all the ills in society, I use music as an outlet to uplift my own spirit and to release the sorrow that I'm feeling. So that's usually how I write. And this song entitled Family, it hit me hard because it was a young football player, upcoming rising star, still in high school, And, you know, the scouts were looking at him. And he was gunned down in the streets of Los Angeles. And I thought about the mother, the father, the sister, and the brother. You know, how when you take a life and you take away something you cannot give back, it's just final. So that was something that, you know, just kind of, I went to the keyboard and the bass line was there. So I just, you know, started writing. And usually that's how my songs come about.
Okay. So do you have a publishing company?
No, Joan, I don't. I don't have a publishing company. Actually, I don't even have my own label. None of the above. Pardon? Joan, the connection. Yes, I'm sorry.
Did you copyright the song?
How do I copyright my songs?
Yes.
Well, I work with my husband, Byron McNeish, and mm-hmm. Byron is a audio engineer, and he has been in the entertainment industry over 25 years, and he handles all that end, all the business end. He handles it. As a matter of fact, he does all my recordings. So usually when it comes to business, he handles that. And he's worked with production for various artists from, I would say, from the Isley Brothers with the R&B all the way through to hip-hop. So as a team, the two of us work together, and when it comes to the business, he handles all of that in on my behalf or on our behalf.
Okay, so say, for instance, Women in Jazz South Florida, we are a 13-year-old organization that promotes women musicians globally. We have members of 15 countries and 20 states. Many of our members are in L.A. Gil Johnson, Jesse Muhammad, San Francisco, Oakland, and Rada Odafina is in L.A., Peggy, Camille, Karen, Farnes, and Dennis. So we have a lot of musicians out there in California. So if you can remember to submit your song to our 8th compilation of women musicians. That's why I asked these questions. Now, I want you to take the next few minutes and talk about your book.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that question, Joan? The connection is really difficult. I'm having a hard time.
It's my phone. It's my phone.
Okay.
What did you write the book before the musical or after the Broadway musical?
Okay. The book was written after the Broadway musical. What inspired me to go ahead and tell my story is because so many others were telling my story or our story. And I said, you know what? It's time for me to speak from my own experience, rather than to continue to have others tell my story for me. So that was a motivating factor in...
Can you give us an encapsulation of the story?
Did I give up an encapsulation? Did I hear you correctly?
No. Can you give us a short version of the book? You know? Tell us about the book.
It begins with my childhood and what made me become the type of person that I am, or, you know, that made me move towards being more of an activist humanitarian. And I was in search of the truth. So the book basically gives the overview of my life in search of the truth, which led me to Africa, also which helped facilitate in my meeting Fela. And at the time that I met him, it was Fela Ransom Kuti. That was before he was even of conscious mind. And it goes on, it talks about the trials and tribulations and the ups and downs of our experience, because, you know, we were young and we were excited and we thought we had come up with a brand new idea of how to help the government and bring about unity in the world. But little did we know that the so-called government that we were trying to help and enlighten were the very ones who were fighting against us. Joan?
Yes, so where can we get a copy of the book?
Either right now, I don't have an American publishing deal. So the craft books in Nigeria or sandraisidore.com.
Oh,
you can
good.
Go to sandraisidore.com,
okay,
and yes. And that's I-Z-S-A-D-O-R-E.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I as in Isaac, Z as in zebra, S-A-D-O-R-E, sandraisidore.com.
Okay, so it's published in Nigeria.
Yes, I did a deal with Craft Books in Nigeria. And that left me with I did the deal where the rest of the world, so if I want to do one with Europe, America, I have the freedom to do that. So I haven't found a literary agent here in America that to represent me, that I haven't found in America. And I've been putting my feelers out for a literary agent here in America, because it's a totally different arena than the music arena in the publishing world.
Oh, of course. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm self-published because I didn't wait for anybody to write a book about me. I wrote a book about me, and I published it on lulu.com. Since then, I have 13 books. So I'm self-published. I'm not waiting for someone to recognize what I do. And I've sold hundreds of books. Yes, if not thousands.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, because, from a writer standpoint, I understand that it's not easy and what you've done. And see, just when I did my release, and was lining things up to, you know, make a major push for my book here in America, then that's when Corona came in, and it's kind of shut everything down because we already had things lined up, but everything we had lined up had to be canceled.
Okay, but when did you write this book? What year?
Well, writing my book was a process. It was over a period of time. It was.
When did you publish?
It was published actually a year ago. It was published in Nigeria in June of 2019.
Okay. So that's a year.
Joan, I'm not hearing you clearly.
Lulu, L-U-L-U .com.
Lulu.com.
Mm-hmm. And it's free. And I have published 14 books there. Just go there and put my name in and look at my books. Yeah. But listen, I'm going to play. Now, BBC, what was that song about? BBC.
Big Blind Country. Actually, it was one of the last compositions that Fela did. And the lyrics are, you know, I wrote my own lyrics. And I put it to that song. And it when I was listening to you play it today, I realized how apropos it is for what's happening in America right now. The title of the song, is Big Blind Country, where
right.
the one-eyed man is king. Mm. And so if everyone in the country is blind, the one person that has one eye, everybody wants to follow and praise that person. And the person you may be following and praising is the person that's doing you harm. And mm-hmm. with all the sickness and all the negativity in the world, I just thought that it was another one of those songs that needed to reach across the table, and maybe if you can't hear someone verbally, maybe the music will capture your attention and you possibly will take the time to listen to what is being said.
Right. Okay. Now tell Cuba's Way Going Out. So tell us about that song.
Oh, okay. Cuba, Get Out of Cuba's Way. That track was recorded in Lomé, and I recorded that track with Tony Allen and T-Mac. When I went to Nigeria, that was around 1982. That's how long ago that song was composed. Not the lyrics. I redid the lyrics because a friend of mine who's doing a campaign for Cuba, Ebun Obi Obun, is here working on the East Coast with children. I mean, he's a very strong activist, and he's been on very various platforms politically to bring attention to Cuba's plight. And the good that's happening there, like a lot of people are unaware, you know, it costs so much money here in America to go to med school. Well, you know, if you go to Cuba, you can go for free. The only thing about it in Cuba is that you have to do 2 years of volunteer work around the world, which I think is a very good thing as a payback. Whereas you're not graduating from college and having a noose or a chain around your neck because of the money that you owe for the school fees. So mm-hmm. it was just more or less a tribute to Cuba and to their doctors, the doctors that are there, that go all over the world. They have some of the finest and best doctors. Cuba is producing. This is my way of saying thank you.
Okay. So how long did you live in Nigeria?
Ooh, the first time I was in Nigeria, the very first time, it was 9 months.
Mm.
And then I came back to the U.S., and I returned in 1976 for about, it was either 2 or 3 months in 76. And then I came back to the U.S., and it was in 1982 that I went back for what, like maybe another 2 or 3 months. And then I returned, and then I went back again in 2015. And in 2015, it was like I was shocked. I was shocked from the very beginning, from 1969, when Nigeria was like the new baby, the new child that was just born because she had just received her independence and she had gone through the war. There was so much opportunity there, so much opportunity. And I thought then, you know, by me coming from America and exposing or telling my story there in Nigeria, that people would have listened. And they did. You know, I was a hot commodity then. My notoriety and publicity was greater than fellas then.
Okay, listen, Sandra, we're at the end of the show. I'm going to have to bring you back next month. Okay?
All right. All right, Joan.
All right. I'm going to play this tune, and I'll call you when we're finished. Okay?
All right. All right. Have a wonderful day.
Get out, get out, get out of Cuba's way. Get out, get out, get out of Cuba's way. Get out, get out, get out of Cuba's way.
WIJSF.com. Women in Jazz South Florida, Inc. is a nonprofit educational organization that promotes women musicians globally.